There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to That Psyched Runner podcast. I'm your host, Sabrina. On this show, we talk about how to thrive in the sport of running, from on the road to in the kitchen to in your own mind. We hear inspirational stories from others and talk about the psychology behind it all. I'm so happy you're here and enjoy the show. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. I am doing a solo episode today, and that is going to be answering some of your questions, just doing my life updates, and, you know, my usual casual Q&A videos that will, or not videos, recordings that will probably not be as long as they usually aren't, but I just love chatting with you guys and hearing your guys' questions. I do have some guest episodes coming out, but I am kind of doing back and forth right now as far as episodes. So I know that before I have said that I'm trying to do this every week right now, but honestly, you guys, life has been insane the past like month to 2 months, and I do not think I can commit to doing a episode every single week at this point. It'll be every other week still, but I'm hoping when I can to do one every week, but we will see. So that's just the update. Again, if you don't like that, that's totally fine. I totally vibe with you. No worries at all. But for those of you who are sticking around with me during this hectic time of my life, I love you and I appreciate you and you're amazing. So I guess with no further ado or without further ado, you guys, my brain is farting today. What is up with this? Does my brain have IBS? Probably. Okay, let's just go with a little life update here. So last time I checked in with you guys, you know, I was like starting in like, I guess, no, I was like in the thick of training for Boston. Right now I have just finished my first week of taper for Boston. So it is actually Easter Sunday right now when I'm recording this, and I meant to record this like 2 weeks ago, but you guys, I will get up, like, I will catch you up to speed, but life got in the way. So yeah, I just finished my first week of taper, and guys, this training cycle has absolutely taught me so much, and I have seen the highest of highs and lowest of lows in this training cycle. Okay, so I guess I'll just start with life, and then I'll go to training. I'll go to my recent race, and then I'll go to how, like, I'm feeling about Boston, and then I'll get to answering three of your questions. So life. What has life looked like for Sabrina, for That Psyched Runner, in the past couple of months? Life is great. It is fabulous. And it's a lot right now, honestly. I just want to be real with you guys and be completely honest with you guys. Life has been a little bit more challenging than usual lately. I have been going through some personal things that I'm not going to disclose here. Or I don't feel comfortable disclosing. I like should not. Just like some family issues and just like some other stuff going on in my life, and I guess I'm just being pulled in a lot of directions right now is what I'm gonna say. I have just some situations that have been difficult to navigate, and I also am just working a lot on many different things. I currently am a full-time PhD student who does, you know, research, teaching, work. I do classes, I do clinical work, which I love, and it's my passion. And I also have another job, and it's just a lot of hours, and we're just kind of feeling right now a little bit burnt out. And I don't like to use that word. I do not like to use that word. But on top of, I feel like I've been able to manage this stuff before and these workloads, but with these external life events that have occurred in the past couple of months, it's been a lot. I haven't had a lot of time to process some of the things, and I feel like I need that. I feel like I need just some stillness, and some time to like have for myself to process some of these things. So anyway, I don't like, again, I would disclose if I could, but I am not going to. So yeah, just know that it's been a little bit of a hectic couple of months, honestly, and it's just been a lot to deal with and navigate. And I have felt a little bit pulled in a lot of different directions, just like, I don't know, with working and all that stuff. But we're trying to navigate this and we're trying to figure our way out of things because it's life. And what I'm learning is that, like, there's literally no perfect way to do life. Like, I cannot, like, no decision I make is ever going to be perfect. No situation is ever going to have a perfect outcome. Like, there's always going to be pros and cons to anything. And it's really just about relying on the guidance of God to help me through things. So yeah, anyway, yeah, there's been some struggles this past couple of months. But at the same time, or I'm going to say, and at the same time, there have been so many good things these past couple of months. And of course, I am riding vibes and positivity. And we are just, I'm just appreciating every single second of every single day. And I am so blessed to have the life that I do. So, yeah, I've been loving all my class stuff and all of my just normal school things. And I also have been loving running. I just have been cherishing like my running community so much recently. Like every single time I run with my friends, I always just think how freaking grateful I am for them and how freaking grateful I am to have a community that values the sport and just like, I guess, the personality and characteristics that go along with being a runner. So, if any of my running friends are listening right now, I love you so freaking much. And for those of you who are my virtual run friends, I love you and I wish I could run with you in person. So, yeah, things have been going well. Other than that, as far as training goes, I have had, again, like I said, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So let's start with the highest of highs because we're going to start on a positive note here. So training has been going phenomenally, like for the most part. And I don't know what happened, but something unleashed in me like this past month. I don't know if it's like all the emotions from everything I'm trying to process in life right now, or if things are just starting to kick in and make sense in my legs and fitness is gaining, but I have completed workouts and done things in training that I never thought I would be able to do. Okay, so for example, I work with Coach Tony at Relentless Runners, and she is fabulous. She is just the most amazing person and always puts up with me when I'm like, Tony, do I really, like, can I really do this? Like, you sound crazy for telling me I can hold a 7-minute pace for mile repeats or whatever. Or I'll be like, okay, like, why do I not need to run like 12 miles the week before my marathon? Why only 11 or 10? Like, what's gonna happen? And she's like so reassuring of me and puts up with my anxiety as a runner, and I love her. But she wrote a workout maybe like a month ago-ish or 3 weeks ago, and it was 5 mile repeats, or no, 4 mile repeats. I don't even remember, something like that. 4 or 5 mile repeats at 7-minute pace. And I was like, holy crap, that's a really hard workout because I was like, how do I do that? And there's only a 400-meter jog between them. But then I did the workout, and every single mile was at 6:30 flat, like exactly even split. Then my last mile was at 6:29. And I was like, holy crap. I stawled that workout and I started bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, what the heck? This is incredible. Like, I just felt such a sense of gratitude. And then I cooled down and I listened to worship music and I was bawling my eyes out that entire cool down. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I just feel like right now in my life, so many things have just been going wrong. And there's been so many hardships that I kind of have felt just like this. Am I doing anything right? Like, what am I doing? Like, am I training right? Like, am I studying right? Am I living right? Am I taking care of my dog right? Like everything, I'm just always so hard on myself. And so when I finished that workout, after thinking that, just having all these doubts that like I've been bad at training or whatever, I just had this whole breakthrough, and I just have to thank Jesus for that. So that workout was like a game changer for me. It made my whole mindset just flip a switch and be like, wow, like I actually can do hard things. Like I am not a quitter. Like I can get through things. So yeah, anyway, that was a fabulous workout. And then last, or not last weekend, but 2 weekends ago, so a month before Boston, I had a tune-up half marathon race. And Tony, of course, she was like, I want your goal pace to be 7:10 minute per mile. And I'm like, oh, bro, that's really fast. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that for 13.1 miles, because when I do long runs, I'm like, sometimes 8 minute pace feels like death and I just need to go like really slow. So I was super anxious for this, like, I guess anxious for that pace. I was like, I don't think I can hold that. I had no intention of being able to hold a 7:10. I was like, I'm just gonna go out, see what happens, and like, whatever. If I bonk, I bonk. So for that week, that was a cutback week. That was after my second 20 miler in a row, which my first 20 miler I did with Mac and Run with Mac on Instagram. I love her. You guys have seen her all over my Instagram, and then Paul and just her Society Track Club team, which is so fabulous. And then my second 20 miler was a 20 mile workout. It had like 2x3 and then 1x2 like miles at marathon pace. And oh, that was amazing workout. It felt so good. I hit the paces, went faster, and it was just amazing. So this weekend, then I had like a cutback week. So I had like 16 miles. And then the next weekend, I had my race. And it was, again, the half marathon. For that whole week, we did like a mini taper. So really low mileage. I practiced my carb load for my marathon and it felt great, but I was still like, there's no way I'm hitting 7:10s. But I start to warm up and I'm like, okay, I'm like, my legs still feel a little bit dead, kind of. Like, it's not, you're still in the middle of marathon training, you're fatigued. Like, I had just come off of 3 big weeks of training. And then I start and the gun goes off and I'm running and I'm like, I'm not gonna check my watch. I'm not gonna check my watch. And then I look and Tony, she told me, she's like, keep yourself slow those first few miles. She's like, don't go faster than XYZ. And I look at my watch and I'm like, oh crap, I'm going 6:55 pace, or like 6:50 something pace. And I'm like, this is not good. So I'm like, I gotta slow down. I gotta slow down. So I try to slow down at like mile three and hit like a 7:03 pace. And then I went for it. I was like, you know what? I'm like, I'm just gonna hold on to this pace and see what happens. I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know if I'm gonna bonk. I might bonk. I might hit a wall. But if I do, I can run 10-minute miles in and I'll be totally fine. So I was like, whatever. So I'm at like a 6:55 pace, and I'm like, okay, this shouldn't feel this good. But I was also hurting by mile five. I was hurting like a lot. And it was windy and it was like blowing snow for a bit. And it was a pretty hilly route too. Like, there was a lot of uphill, which was also very tough. So it was kind of a grind. And then my friend Jackie caught up to me and she was like, running next to me for a while, for a few miles. She's like, you can do it. And she was powering me up the hills. And I realized at like mile 10, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a 5K left and I haven't dropped this pace yet. I was hurting, mind you, though. Like, I was in pain at this point. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself? At mile 11, I had the thought, like, I'm never doing this again, like I do every hard race. But then, of course, we do it again because everybody has those thoughts. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I crossed the finish line and I'm like, what the heck? I just ran a 1:30:45. And I'm like, that's insane. So that qualified. Okay, if they did half marathon qualification times, that would have qualified me to apply for New York City Marathon, because qualification time is below 1:32. And I never thought I'd be able to do that. And I look at my average pace on like my watch in Strava and like it was 6:55. You guys, I could not fathom ever running 2 straight miles below a sub 7 minute pace like a year ago. And the fact that I ran a sub 7 minute pace for this race, I was like mind blown. I cried so hard. Again, I'm an emotional girly sometimes when it comes to this sport, but I was crying and I FaceTimed my dad. I'm like, Dad, because I FaceTimed him before. I'm like, okay, here's the like pace that my coach wants me to run, and I don't know if I can do it. And he's like, good luck. And I was like, what pace do you think I ran? He's like, 7:11. And I'm like, I ran a 6:55. And I'm like, what happened? And he was like, it was just such a fun moment. And I realized in that moment, like, oh my gosh, like training is working. Like the hard work is paying off, the discipline, the mornings when I don't want to get up and run, when I just want to sit at home and pet my dog, like, but instead I get out there and I get it done. Like it's paying off, and like relying on God's strength during those moments is so crucial too. Like I just remember during that race, I was like, okay, God, like give me your freaking energy, because there's no way I can do this on my own. And so that was just the most magical race ever. And so on VDOT, it translates to my thing is like, I don't know what I'm going to do in Boston as far as a marathon. Like, it's, I have no idea what the conditions are going to be like. It's going to be uphill. It's going to be a late start. But apparently on VDOT, I could run a 3:10 marathon right now, which would be sick. Like, that would be cool. But at the same time, that's if everything went perfectly. So yeah, that's like the really high highs, is that I'm in a lot better space fitness-wise than I thought I was ever going to be in my entire life. And it's cool to like look back at this 5K that I ran 2.5 years ago, and I was grinding. I felt like I was gonna vomit afterwards, and my pace was like an 8:30, and now I'm running 6:55s for a half marathon. Like, guys, this sport is insane. Like what you can do and like what your body is capable of. Like this sport has taught me so much about just being able to recognize like you can actually do the things you don't think are possible. Like, it's so cool. Like, with hard work, like, your mind is the thing that holds you back the most. Like, yes, we have physical limitations, but like, it is your mind. It is solely your mind pushing through those moments when you feel like death and you want to die. Like, it was not to be dramatic, but sometimes in races, I'm like, I just want to collapse right now and like pass away. It's bad. Okay. You know, we all have those thoughts. I'm just naming, I'm making the spoken unspoken, right? Or unspoken spoken right now. Okay. We have those moments where like, let's just collapse. But like, during those moments when you push through and realize that like, you actually can do it, it's going to be okay. And pain is so temporary. Like, that is the coolest, most incredible moments ever. And I also got to experience that day with several of my running friends who all had fantastic races and PR'd. And then Mac ran a great workout. She did 23 miles that day because she's running the Carmel Marathon. And it just, nothing makes my heart more happy than seeing other runners just accomplish their goals and be so happy and proud of themselves. And oh, it just warms my heart. So if any of you guys are listening right now and have a win to share as far as a race or a running win, just please send me a message or like drop it in the comments, because I love hearing them and I love cheering for you guys. So yeah. Okay. Anyway, that was the high highs. I have had a very low low though. So the weekend after that, or the week after that, was my peak week. So right, I'm coming off of a big race, legs are kind of fried, but I had my peak week. But instead of doing any workouts that week, we just had all easy miles, just a lot of it. So like on Tuesday, like 2 days after, I had like 12 easy miles. That was my medium long run. And then I had like, you know, 8, 9 mile runs throughout the week, and then like a 7 miler like the day before my biggest last long run. So this long run is supposed to be 22 miles, and my supposed to be my peak week workout, and we were supposed to do 2 by 5 miles at marathon pace. This workout had been planned for like a month in advance. Like, it was gonna be my last big effort. And it's, you know, classic as far as the marathon goes, 3 weeks out from your race, because that gives your body enough time to fully recover from these big workouts. I'm never a fan of the 2 weeks out type of workout girly. Like, my body needs more time to recover. And I think physiologically, most people do. I mean, to each their own, but like, that's something that's always worked for me. That's something that my coach always prescribes to her runners and like other people. And I know that other people are different though, and like some do 2, some do 4 week tapers, but whatever. So yeah, that's what works for me. So I had this on plan, and I was actually going the other side of the state because I'm visiting family, and I was gonna do this with Mac and her run group. And of course, the day before this big long run workout, we get a massive snowstorm because we're in Michigan. So the snow, it was pouring, like it came down. It was terrible. It was like 8 inches of snow blowing, like the Conditions were terrible for driving. Like my 2 hour drive turned into like a 4.5 hour drive and it was awful. I like did a 360 on the freeway and it was just not a great drive-in. So it was kind of traumatic. And then we get to the group run the next morning and it is super snowy, super icy. The snow is deep and the group run decided that there's not really going to be aid stations, which we thought there was going to be. And I had not packed my water bottle because I was told that there were aid stations. Same with everybody else who I was running with, including Mac and Paul and all of my other running friends. And we were like, uh-oh. So we were told there would be an aid station at, I think it was like mile 3 and then like mile 10. So we get to mile 3, we do some loops around this park, which the snow is like 4 inches there. So we were kind of trudging and we were on the struggle bus getting through that snow. Like it was so bad. The footing was terrible. It was also freezing cold. So I was already, not gonna lie, I was in a bad mood. I was not having the conditions. It was just so treacherous. And I'm usually a very positive person when it comes to running and like getting through tough runs, but I was already in a bad mood and it was like mile 3 out of 22. So we were running around the park and it was just not good. So we stopped, we grabbed some water, grab our first like gels. It was like mile 5 at this point. We're like, okay, good. Like we'll run out to mile 10 or whatever. And this is in the middle of nowhere. So there's like no gas stations or anything. It's literally on the side of a highway. So there's a lot of cars coming and there's nothing. It's like farmland. Like there's cows, there's horses. Like you are running in the middle of nowhere. So we run all the way out there because we thought there would be an aid station, which is when I was going to take my next gel. And usually I do it every like 4, but I'm just gonna like do it every 5. We get there and there's no aid station. And apparently there was never one put up. So we had to run. Then we went like a mile and a half extra. So we were 11 and a half miles out, or not 11 and a half miles out, but we were at mile 11 and a half. So we were 6.5 miles away from the closest aid station. No aid station in sight. And it's very windy and snowy. We are all very thirsty. We need our fuel. We're underfueled at this point. And we have nothing in sight. So we just take a breather and we're like, okay, so there's no aid stations here. We don't have water, so we cannot take our gels. But then we realize, handy dandy, you don't have to take with water. So took a Ucan gel. I did not have water with it. This is my second gel of the run. And some people ate some snow for hydration because it was that packed, but I did not want to. I don't have the best immune system with IBD, and so I did not want to risk it. And I'm already having a little bit of an IBD flare right now. So, I'm like, I cannot risk it. Cannot have the snow. So I'm very dehydrated. I'm thirsty. I'm crabby as heck. I can tell my blood sugar is low, but I take my gel and we turn around and I'm like, oh, okay, this is awful. So we have 6.5 miles to go and we don't have any water. There's nothing in sight. Like the roads are terrible. So we are just running, trudging along. Oh yeah, by the way, I nixed the workout. 2 days before, my coach was just like, Sabrina, like, do not worry about a workout. She's like, you don't need it. You had such a good effort like the weekend before. Like, in all honest to goodness, like that one last workout was not going to be like, it's not going to make or break my fitness at all. So we were like, we're just going to run easy. So we're running back 6.5 miles away from water. And I cannot take my last gel during those 6.5 miles because it was a gel you need to take water with. So after about like 3 miles of jogging back, I was like, over. We were all over it. I stopped. It was like at mile 14, and we stopped a lot on this run because we needed to just like recollect ourselves. For the first time in my life, like I'm a very positive person, but I stopped. I felt like I was like choking and I started bawling my eyes out. And I'm so embarrassed because I've never cried on a run before. So this is like the first time in my life I was bawling. I kind of sounded like I was hyperventilating in a way, but I was okay. And I literally said, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, I need to quit. And God bless Mac and Paul and just know and everybody that was there. And you guys were so supportive and everybody was so supportive. And we all rallied and they helped me stay with it and take it easy, and they helped me push through this last mileage. And so I thought I was going to call an Uber, but we made it, and I could not have done it without them and without their support. So we went on, and we went easy, and we kept pushing. I was in the worst mood I could have been, but I tried so hard to keep it positive. Paul played Big Booty Mix, and that was just elite during that time. Just tried not to talk a lot because I was very, very, very thirsty and just underfueled. So we did not get back to water until mile 20, and I had 2 miles to go. And we got there, and all of us just took a swig of water, went to the bathroom. We just went through those last 2 miles, and it was rough, you guys. Like, I have never been in such a negative headspace. For that whole run, all of us only got 2 gels in, and we all had 20 milers, or 20 to 22. And that is the worst I've ever fueled on a run. It was terrible. I finished, my head was pounding. I was like feeling terrible. Like, it was just traumatic, low key. I just was not feeling good. Like, the whole 2 days after, I was so deficient. And we got really good food afterward. That was a highlight. Oh my gosh, got this like croissant sandwich omelet thing. And then after that, just like ate a lot of sweets throughout the day. Oh my gosh, I was so hungry all day. And like, I mean, I always am after long runs, regardless of how many gels I take. But this day was like brutal. So anyway, long story short, that run was the most character building run I've ever done in my life. And that was the lowest point I've ever been mentally in the sport of running. I've never hit that point. But what this taught me, I'm like getting emotional, is like the running community is so beautiful. Like, I would have given up if it weren't for those people surrounding me and if it weren't for the energy of everybody else. And like, what's cool about running is like, you realize that like you can get through those moments where you don't think you can make it anymore because of the support that you have. And because, oh my gosh, guys, why am I crying? Like, sorry. Okay, now you're hearing me cry on my podcast. I'm like crying for the first time on a long run, crying for the first time on a podcast. What? Who am I? But it just makes me realize that like you can do anything. Like, during those moments when you think like you want to give up, like the support around you is just so wonderful. And like, you can keep going. Like, you can take one more step, like 1 mile at a time, and you can make it through those brutal, terrible runs, workouts. And it also applies to life. And like I said, like, I've just gone through a lot these past couple of months, and I've had a lot of doubts. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, this is just so much. And I like, don't know what direction I'm going in. And I'm just like, I'm all over the place. And I've had those doubts, but this run taught me that like, hey, I can do this. And like, I am not a quitter. Like, I am a fighter, and we are going to get through things. We're going to get through hard things. So yeah, I guess even though that was a low, low, it's still a high because it taught me that like, okay, we can get through this. And I remember I texted Toni afterwards, and she's like, girl, if you can get through that, you can get through Boston. So that was beautiful. So that was my peak week, and way to end my peak week with that traumatic 22 miler. But yeah, this taper week has been fabulous. I just, running has felt good. Like, of course, legs are feeling a little bit heavy, but I had 16 miles on Friday. And then next weekend, I just have like easy miles and then like 10 for my long run, which is so crazy. And then we are entering race week. So yeah, I'm feeling nervy, but I'm also very excited. And I'm listening to all of these like podcasts about Boston, and just, it's so surreal to me. I tried on my finisher jacket for the first time a couple days ago, and or my celebration jacket, and I'm so excited. Also, I'm sorry if you hear banging because that's my dog. So yeah, that was like a big long update, but I feel like you guys, like half of your questions were like, how's training going? What are you doing with training? So I guess that is answering one of your questions, but I'll still answer three more because I have a lot of questions from you guys and I want to answer them. So sorry for that rambling, but I hope you enjoyed my chaotic life because, I mean, it's chaos, but I love it. And I love you guys who support me, like, regardless of how chaotic I am. But I love you guys. Thank you so much. Okay, so now to answer a few of your questions, I got at least 7 or 8 questions of people asking, how do I know if I'm eating enough during marathon training? And here's the thing that I want to say is, like, I'm not a dietitian. I am not your dietitian. So I can't tell you, unfortunately. I wish I could. I wish I could be like, hey, that's enough for you. But, like, that's why we have medical professionals to help us determine our needs. So my stance on this, it's hard. It's definitely hard to know sometimes because my appetite gets blunted a lot during hard training cycles, especially if it's like during like peak weeks of training. I'm usually super hungry during the taper and also like for the month after the marathon. But like during those peak weeks, it's hard. So I work with a sports dietitian who's fantastic and really helped put it into perspective. It's like you really cannot be like, if you have any doubts or are if you're thinking at all, if you're asking yourself the question if you're eating enough, you probably aren't actually if you're in training, because you can honestly not eat enough during marathon training. And this is what for me at least works. I'm not here to give nutrition advice at all, but it really comes down to, you know, energy levels. How are you feeling? Are you able to maintain a good solid life outside of training? Are you feeling exhausted? Do you get a crash at 2 p.m.? Like, are you able to hit your workouts? Are you feeling good? Are you not waking up like you could eat everything in the room? You know, just stuff like that. Making sure obviously that your health is in check and like hormones and stuff. But I guess those are like general signs. But again, I don't want to answer that in much more detail just because like I'm not your dietitian. And I think that to identify your needs, maybe seeing a dietitian would be helpful. But again, if you have any of those symptoms of underfueling, I would definitely seek out for support, like low energy, a missing period, like feeling cold all the time, not hitting your paces, getting stress injuries. Those are obviously some red flags to seek help for. So yeah, that's to that. Let's see. Ooh, a bit random, but what would be your dream running trip? Ooh, probably going to Hawaii and just like running on every single island. I love Hawaii. It's my favorite. And I would just love to run there. I just think it'd be so beautiful. I went to Hawaii for my senior trip in high school and it was amazing. And I want to go back so bad. So maybe that'll be a future trip. Let's see. Somebody asked the same question. Okay, perfect. Let me see here. Ooh, how to deal with bad body image days? That's a great question. So honestly, some days you just kind of have to get through it. Just what my philosophy is always like body neutrality. Like no matter what or how you feel about yourself or your body on that given day, accept it for how it is and also accept the thoughts that you have with that. So let's say you wake up in your morning and you're like, oh my gosh, I do not like the way I look. Acknowledge that thought. Say, hey, like I'm having this thought that I don't like the way that I look. And that's okay to have that thought. That's okay to feel that way. And it's just a thought. You do not have to act on it. Literally, you can have the thought and then watch it float away. Like what I do is if I am ever having those thoughts, I like to reframe it with like verses from the Bible that show like I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm a very much like reframe into positivity sort of thing. So saying something like, you know, if I say, oh my gosh, like I don't like my acne today, be like, hey, like nobody, like just checking that, like, why don't I like it? Like nobody's going to notice. Or say something like, if they did, like that doesn't change my worth, or like my worth is in Christ, and just like reframing it like that. And also just like wearing something that makes you feel confident. And if nothing does, accept it and accept yourself that day and know that that's going to pass. Like not every day is going to be bad. Not every day is going to be good. And every single day brings its new adventure and its new feelings. So just accepting yourself where it's at and practicing self-love on those days and reminding yourself that like literally our bodies are just something that carry our personality, that carry who we are. Okay. So our bodies are not us. We are us. Like I am Sabrina because of my personality, my passions, my love, my identity in Christ. It's not because of my body or my physical aspects. It's not because of my fingers. I'm a human who has fingers, and you are a human who has toes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, our bodies are just vessels for how we carry ourselves. And so we need to treat ourselves well because
it's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Who we are, like, if we don't give our body the love that it needs, then we're not going to live to our truest and fullest potential as human beings and who we are. We want to be ourselves and we want to live out our personalities that we were born with and that we are meant to have and give the love to others that we are designed for. But we can only do that if we treat our bodies right. And so really just recognizing that on those days when you don't feel confident in yourself, recognize that, like, it's okay. And, like, your body is, you are not your body. Like, you need to take care of your body, but, like, who you are is independent of what you look like. And so I just want you to know that. And if nobody's ever told you that before, I want to say that to you right now. So if you are having a bad body image day, hey, you are loved and I love you because of who you are as a person, not because of what your body looks like. Like, most of you I've only met through, like, Instagram and talking to you. And that's why I love you guys and am friends with you guys. I don't know what your bodies look like. And yet I know that you guys are amazing and incredible humans. And so just know that, like, your greatest attributes are not your body. Okay. So that was a lot today. Thank you for putting up with me with my tangent and my high-low recap. But also, I thank you for submitting your questions. Know that you can submit these either through the Google form or you can send them to me on Instagram for the podcast episode and I will answer them. But I really appreciate you guys so much and, like, sticking with me through everything, the highs and the lows of my life. And I love you guys, like, seriously. And please, my DMs are always open. So feel free to reach out whenever you want to, because I love meeting you. I love chatting with you guys. And I will be doing some sort of episode, probably pre-Boston, just to do a little recap, or, and then obviously a race recap for sure. But yeah. So anyway, I think that's the end. I hope you have a fantastic day and I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening.